Greetings in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 1. The Hidden Unveiling. Allow me a little note here. If it's at all possible, on whatever device you have, whether it be a phone all the way up to a panel TV, please open the writing up and follow along, maybe not necessarily for the first part of it, but for the latter part, it'd be helpful if you followed along so you understand how it is being read. Thank you. Scriptures. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet asked they of Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all things that were written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen for many days of them that came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses unto the people. And we bring you good tidings of the promise made unto the fathers, that God hath fulfilled the same unto our children, in that he raised up Jesus, as also it is written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he hath spoken on this wise, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Because he saith also in another psalm, Thou wilt not give thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had in his own generation served the counsel of God, fell asleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Acts 13:28 to 37, American Standard Version. Genesis 1:26 to 31 says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Psalm 145:1-13, David's Psalm of Praise, says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness, and they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants' sake, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Psalm 102:10-16. And scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Immediately I was caught up with the angel, and found myself standing at the end of the sixth day of creation. As the Lord then finished creating man on the sixth day, I saw the Lord with his hand outstretched over the created earth, his right hand with the palm facing down upon that which he had made. After a while, the Lord then slowly turned his hand up, so the palm faced upwards. As he did, a gathering cloud formed behind him, and he receded back into the gathering cloud with his hand facing upwards until the Lord was totally enveloped in the cloud, and he could not be seen because of the thickness of the cloud. As this cloud enveloped the Lord, as he withdrew from being viewed by his creation, iniquity sprang up in the earth, and evil began immediately to increase. End vision. Second vision. Standing then upon the lower firmament, I beheld the Lord above the clouds, hidden from view and from the eyesight of men who began to multiply upon the earth, and who began to set up for themselves their own rule and authority. As the Lord lay hidden behind the clouds in the heavens, I saw that he brought forth and instituted at the same time from the beginning of creation the mysteries of his love, which worked in succession and in repeated manner by his Spirit above the clouds. I could see the ages displayed upon the earth, as though they were laid across in a timeline, from the creation of the world unto the ages which are yet to come. The cloud which shielded the Lord from being seen by man remained over the earth and the ages until our time. In our time, the cloud dissipated, and the Lord was clearly seen, establishing his kingdom upon the earth in full eyesight of men. No longer hidden, his very person was seen, and his nature, including all mysteries, was known by the nations which dwelt upon the earth. No one was left wondering who the Lord was, for all men everywhere saw him, and with joy accepted his kingdom, which was now being built upon the earth. It was from this time of his manifestation to men, and then through the ages yet before us, that this cloud of hiding was removed, and the Lord was seen in holiness as the Creator over all the works of his hands. End vision. End two visions. As this age is drawing fast to a close, And as we anticipate the dawning of the age of his kingdom upon the earth, we note that the pressures of our time are increasing. There are many who have prophesied of destructions from nature and other forces, all from the hand of God in judging the earth, tossing it to and fro in shakings and bringing all the works of men to naught. Many words have gone forth concerning storms, fires, earthquakes, floods, wars and rumors of wars, nuclear weapons, ungodly dictatorships, failing political systems, failing money systems, failing health, lack of foods or abundance of the wrong foods, pollutions and global warming, lack of love for the love of many due to increased iniquity is waxing cold. It is in this time that we are in the pressures, this time we are in that the pressures are more than at any other time in history. In some ways, history is repeating itself. However, this time we have the added abomination of that one who imitates Christ, sitting in the temple of God as God, saying, "I am God." And to all of this, we add in non-discerning believers of the gospel who are taken away by every fanciful doctrine and teaching that comes, and thus believing in strong delusions which are based in lies. With itching ears, we have multitudes of Christians, as well as many in sonship circles, falling away into diluted doctrines of every sort, and the way of the plain, narrow path is strewn over by the reasonings of religious carnal minds. It is the Lord who is doing this shaking, whether by his Spirit or through the natural elements of nature or by the ungodly works of wicked men. The shakings are happening. However, I would like to add that the Lord will not leave this unbalanced. At the very same time, he will answer this earth and mankind and all of that which he created with great mercy, great forgiveness for the sake of the atonement and a massive move of his Spirit during this time, which will break forth in waves upon waves of national repentance amongst all the nations. Hearts turning unto the Lord as though a great harvest were being gleaned. No one that has lived in this world will be exempt from the shaking, and those very same ones who are not exempt from the shaking will also not be exempt from the restoration that comes by the way of the mercies of the Lord. Every soul is a candidate in this time for this to happen. No one will be left in a state of being perpetually undone. All will be restored, and all will be brought to holiness. For the Lord, at the same time as judging this world and ending the ways of man, will also bring that same man into absolute holiness, even the holiness of his very person. You cannot have the shakings without also experiencing the mercy. You cannot experience the mercy without the fruit of mercy, which will come in a transformation, and that transformation will end in absolute holiness. This is what is coming to this world. Do you see a wicked man in the earth? Do you see an ungodly nation in the earth? Do you behold much evil and the increase of lawlessness and wickedness at every turn? Are your newscasts filled with woe as to the day we are in? It is to that wicked person, that wicked nation, that nation which increases in lawlessness and perversion, those depressing newscasts and television broadcasts which speak of the negative power of this day. To all of these, the shakings will come. To all of these will be the transformation from one humanity to another. Even the pure holiness of the Lord in his very person upon each and every life. So then, the Lord will manifest his army in the midst of this shaking storm, but he will also reveal through that army not just his person, but the mysteries that these studies are all about. For the army of the Lord will bring to naught anything left that has not been shaken. But at the very same time, the greatest blessing upon mankind since the beginning of the fall, and that is restoration and rectitude in his kingdom come. Not only will the army of the Lord be seen by the nations on the earth as destroying all that is of the rule of man, they will also be seen with the full glory of his person, the mysteries revealed, and the mystery of God being completed upon them as they march forward and run upon this earth in that day that is soon to dawn. The army of the Lord will come forth first in absolute holiness. But I dare say that the army of the Lord will be two things in that day that is just before us. One, they will be the most powerful force ever known in this creation. No army before it will have ever had the power and force of this army. Unstoppable and inviolable, they will finish off the age of man and man's forceful dominion. Two, they will at the very same time bring to all nations and to all the earth, reeling under the duress of total loss, the comforts of the hidden mysteries found in the holy epistles. For upon them will not just the measureless glory of the Lord be seen, but also these mysteries, written plain upon their lives as living testaments to the love of the Creator. The Lord chose the fall of man as part of his greater purpose. In restoration circles, we have believed that the greater purpose was the restitution of all mankind. That is indeed a true word. Each soul, bought by the precious blood that Jesus spilt upon Calvary. However, I would like to add that part of the reason for the fall of this creation into depravity and distance from the Creator was to reveal the hidden mysteries of the Lord into plain view. For this view of the mysteries of the Lord will be seen by all men at the same time upon the company of overcomers who come forth in a glorified array that has not been seen since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The mysteries of the epistles, which find their roots throughout the pages of God's holy word, are part of the reason for the fall. For when the mysteries of the Lord are openly revealed, then all mankind will come into the light of understanding, and the curse of the fall will end. All at the same time will this happen. The end of the curse, the revelation of the glorified army of the Lord, and in full view of all, the open mysteries seen for all to behold, not just to those alive on the earth at that time, but also to nations past and extinct, to men who once lived and died in this world. All men will awaken to behold this working of the Lord, which will take place as sure as Jesus is risen now and sits at the right hand of God, expecting till all rule, power, and authority is brought beneath his feet. The last enemy being death itself, until there is no more death anywhere in the domain of the living Christ. He expects a full harvest, and that is exactly what he shall receive, a full harvest of those filled with the holiness of the Lord. When the Lord allowed this creation to fall into the curse, he became hidden to it, a Lord that was present, yet seemingly absent. Right up to this present hour, many of the Lord's people pray and seek the Lord, but for the years of their lives, they receive very little in the way of words or revelation of his presence, other than a small inner knowing he is there by faith in their inner man. This knowing that the Lord is present in them is sometimes small reward when a gruesome trial is assailing them. Such trials as are enough to harm seriously their joy when things seem to overtake them. I have seen trials afflict some people which are hard to understand as to why the Lord would allow such difficulties to come. It must be noted that the Lord is not absent from his creation, but rather our view of the Lord is clouded, obscured, blinded by the circumstance around us and by the deceptions we find in our own flesh. But he is there. The amazing thing is that in every instance that the Lord has moved in the earth, he moves according to the revelation of these mysteries written in the epistles. That the Lord moves in accordance with them and the fact that they are mysteries say to us that they are mysteries to our understanding, not to the ability that the Lord has in motioning his Spirit towards his creation. This is important to note, that the mysteries are the mechanisms by which his Spirit moves. As he moves in the world to prepare the overcomers for the manifestation of the sons of God, he does so within the scope of these mysteries themselves. As he moves in them, the mystery of his Spirit and person is revealed, albeit as lines upon lines. When the day comes for his full appearing and the coming promise of Jesus returning again, that motion of his Spirit will display in full intelligence the mysteries with no other questions surrounding them. At that time, the mysteries will be mysteries no more. They will be open revelations of the Lord and of his very person, and more importantly, of our place in him for eternity. As an example of the mysteries working in the following of the Holy Spirit, I will lay out the scenario of a person born in sin and death in this world, then coming to salvation, then finally to enter the kingdom of God. This will give you a type and a shadow of how these mysteries work. What I will do is write this down in a few points and in brackets, write which mystery or combination thereof are in operation. Please refer to the introduction of these writings for the list of mysteries and associated scriptures. And a note from me, this is where you would follow closely if you can, read along with whatever device you have. When you hear me say the word mystery, know that it is something that is in brackets. First point, man is conceived in the womb, partaking now of the life of this world. Mystery of iniquity. Second point, man is drawn to come to Christ for salvation. Mystery of Christ. Mystery of the kingdom of God. Mystery of the gospel. Mystery of the faith. Mystery of the church. That's all to do with those who come to Christ for salvation. Third point, man comes to the Lord for the Pentecostal baptism in the Holy Spirit. Mystery of the kingdom of God. Mystery of the indwelling Christ. Mystery of the faith. Mystery of the fellowship of the mystery. Mystery of unknown tongues. Fourth point, man then baptized in the Holy Spirit wishes to become holy and pure and to not have anything in his life that would offend the Lord. But instead, he finds that when he would do good, sin and rebellion are ever opposing him. Mystery of God. Mystery of iniquity. Mystery of his will. Mystery of the great whore. Fifth point. Some of the Lord's people at this point fall into denominational thinking, and they do not go on to overcome all things in obedience to the Lord's perfect will. Mystery of Israel's blindness. Mystery of the gospel. Mystery of iniquity. Mystery of the faith. Mystery of his will. Mystery of the seven stars. 6. But a small few go on to perfection, overcoming all things. Mystery of the Kingdom of God. Mystery of the Gospel. Mystery of the indwelling Christ. Mystery of God. Mystery of the faith. Mystery of our change. Mystery of His will. The fellowship of the mystery. Mystery of godliness. Mystery of the seven stars. Mystery of the great whore. Stewards of the mysteries. 7. The church age then progresses since the resurrection of Jesus Christ until the time of a definitive separation of overcomers from they that do not overcome. Mystery of the Church of Christ. Mystery of our change. Mystery of unknown tongues. Mystery of the church. Stewards of the mysteries. Mysteries of the faith. Mystery of the indwelling Christ. Mystery of the gospel. Mystery of Israel's blindness. Mystery of the kingdom of God. An 8. Then comes the end of the age and the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God who overcame and were granted the right to rule with the Lord during the coming millennium. Mystery of the kingdom of God. Mystery of the faith. Mystery of the indwelling Christ now in outward full display. Mystery of the faith, which is no more for faith now, has entered substance. Mystery of Christ, which now has no question attached to it, as Christ is fully realized. Mystery of the seven stars, with the right to judge them given to they that overcame. The right to judge them given to they that overcame. The stewards of the mysteries, born, B-O-R-N-E, openly upon the persons of the glorified overcomers who will be seen throughout the cosmos with nothing hidden from view. The fellowship of the mystery, which now can be enjoined by the rest of mankind from any quarter and from any time frame in world history. Thus we see that the items in brackets, the mysteries, every time the word mystery was used, are motions of the Lord's Spirit in the past and future in His dealings with mankind and with individuals who chose to conquer all things in the name of the Lord. May the Lord quicken our step as we begin to study each mystery laid out in the Holy Epistles. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.